Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansavari Rajakacharya Stotra Sita Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Samstapakacharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansavari Rajakacharya Stotra Sita Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadweep Dham Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Devo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So today we are celebrating the arrival of Srila Prabhupada in America. And in honor of the occasion, I will read the translation of the poem he wrote upon his arrival. This poem is included in the book, The Science of Self-Realization, with a small introduction. Srila Prabhupada arrives in America on September 18, 1965, as the Indian steamship Jaladuta nears Boston's Commonwealth Pier. Srila Prabhupada prays to Lord Krishna in a moving poem. Quote, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. Now, the poem. One. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy, so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives them with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1:17-21. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desires for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed, and loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. At the time loving service is established in the heart, the modes of passion, rajas, and ignorance, tamas, and lust and desire, kama, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes happy. Thus situated in the mode of goodness, the man, rejuvenated by loving service to the Lord, gains liberation from material association, mukti, and comes to know scientifically the personality of Godhead. Thus the knots of the heart and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions, karma, is terminated when one sees the self as master. End quote. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand the message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them. For I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhakti Vedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. This poem by Srila Prabhupada I have other cues.
Can I get them?
Demonstrates his mood as a servant of his spiritual master and Krishna, and as a preacher, and as a well-wisher of the fallen souls. Much could be said about each and every verse, but to begin, I will focus on three verses from the middle. Six. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of delusion. Seven. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives them with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. So, all living entities in the material world are under the control of the illusory energy. But the illusory energy is under the control of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, by your will, they have come under the control of the illusory energy. And so, by your will, they can be released from the clutches of the material energy. And Srila Prabhupada prays to Krishna to deliver them. This prayer of Srila Prabhupada's to Krishna is reminiscent of Vasudev Dutta's prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a way. Vasudev Dutta prayed to Lord Chaitanya that all living entities in the material world are suffering the reactions to their past sinful activities, and therefore they cannot be released from the clutches of the material nature. The Bhagavad Gita also confirms Yesham Twantagatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam, that one can take to devotional service only when he or she is freed from sinful actions and reactions. So Vasudev Dutta prayed to Lord Chaitanya, they are suffering in the material world because of their sinful reactions. So please transfer their sinful reactions to me so that they can be delivered from the material clutches. When Srila Prabhupada heard this very sincere and genuine prayer without duplicity, his heart melted and tears began to flow from his eyes, and he embraced Vasudev Dutta. Generally, no one will accept another person's sinful reactions. There is the story of one thief who was stealing not because he wanted to enjoy a lavish life, but just so that he could maintain his family. And Narada Muni explained to him that he should not engage in sinful activities because he would have to suffer the reaction. He said, well, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for my family members. That is also the influence of the illusory energy, that one perceives lust or selfish desires as love. So Narada Muni said, well, do you want to see the love of your family members for you, how much they appreciate your sacrifice and stealing for them? So he arranged that the wife was informed that her husband would have to suffer many sinful reactions for his stealing. And he asked her if she would accept some of them. And she replied, "No, why should I? He's the one who did the stealing." So the point here is that nobody wants to accept another person's sinful reactions, even a family member like a husband, wife and husband, and even someone who's engaged in sinful activities with the idea of helping the loved one, supporting the loved one. But Vasudev Datta, he was ready to take upon his head all the sinful reactions of all the living entities in the entire universe. And he was genuine. And so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very moved by this. Very moved by this. And in his commentary on these verses in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that a pure devotee like Vasudev Datta is millions of times more merciful even than Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ agreed to accept the sinful reactions of his followers. But Vasudev Datta was prepared to accept the sinful reactions of all living entities within the universe. Then Lord Chaitanya told him that you do not have to suffer their sinful reactions. Just by your desire, the living entities are liberated. Because Krishna, his only desire is to please his devotees. So if you desire their deliverance, they will be delivered by Krishna's grace. And he quoted a verse from the 10th canto, 87th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of the personified Vedas, in which they pray to the Lord in the same way, that by your will, the living entities are placed under the illusory energy, and thus, if you desire, you can release them from the clutches of the material energy. And Lord Chaitanya quoted the verse to establish the fact that Krishna can release them, and he will release them if his pure devotee, Vasudev Datta, so desires. So here, Srila Prabhupada is praying to Lord Krishna in the same way. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So Srila Prabhupada, very much in the mood of Vasudeva Dutta, is praying to Krishna to deliver the fallen souls. But he is not asking for a magic wand that they are delivered, but there is a process for being delivered. And the process is, or I should say, the process begins by hearing the message of Vasudeva or Krishna. But to appreciate the message of Krishna is very difficult for someone covered by the lower modes of material nature, passion, rajas, and ignorance, tamas. And Srila Prabhupada knew that the population was in the lower modes. So how would they be able to understand the message of Krishna? How would they be able to appreciate the message of Krishna? And again, Srila Prabhupada prays to Krishna that you are the most expert mystic, so you can make them receptive to the message of Krishna, and you can make my words suitable for them to hear. So Srila Prabhupada, as a preacher and as a devotee, feels himself completely dependent on Krishna. And actually all of us are, in actuality, fully dependent on Krishna. And so he prays to Krishna to make his words pure and to make them penetrate the hearts of his audience. And he also prays to Krishna to open the hearts of his audience to the message of Krishna. And thus he quoted those five important verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada maintained that mood. When I first met him in Boston, a few years later, eventually I asked for initiation. By that time, he had traveled to Los Angeles, and in his initiation letter, he disclosed his inner mood, which was very much like the mood he expressed in the poem. He wrote that, I'm glad to note that you have experienced at least some of the bliss of Krishna consciousness, and I marked it in your presence when I met you in Boston, and I prayed to Krishna that this soul may become aware of the value of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada was constantly praying for the people who came to him, praying to Krishna to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his spiritual master, that they may appreciate the value of Krishna consciousness, appreciate the message of Vasudeva. And that mood of dependence on Krishna is based on humility from the way Srila Prabhupada describes himself. One can get a sense of what humility is. I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada if there is a pattern with which one should offer prayers. And of course, whatever comes from one's heart will inform one's prayer. But he did say that one begins by stating one's disqualification, and then one states the qualification of the person to whom one is offering the prayer, and then one prays for mercy. Like Narottam Das Thakur prayed to Lord Chaitanya, Patita Pavana Tava Hetu Avatar, that you are the deliverer of the most fallen. Mo Samo Patita Pavana Pai Bayar. And there is no one more fallen than I am, so please deliver me. But these feelings arise naturally in the heart of a devotee as he or she makes progress. It's not a matter of adopting a mood sort of superficially. Like once a disciple said to Srila Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. Srila Prabhupada replied, you are not the most anything. Because, yeah. But when one comes to that stage, one feels like that. And Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains that one who has genuine humility, there are certain symptoms. And one of the symptoms is that one will follow all the rules and regulations strictly. It's not just a matter, yes, I'm fallen, so therefore I have to adhere very closely to the orders of my spiritual master and the injunctions of the scripture. So this is how Srila Prabhupada refers to himself. And because of that humility, feeling completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, he can pray with genuine feeling. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them. For I am powerless to do so on my own. And then he leaves the result to Krishna. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. So, This poem first came out in Back to Godhead magazine in an issue that was published in late 1970 or early 1971, and it reached India when a small group of us were staying in the Sea Palace Hotel in Bombay. We didn't have any temple then. And one of the devotee's friends from London, an Indian gentleman named Ram Chand Chabria, he was a devotee, and he had a vegetarian hotel, strict vegetarian hotel in downtown Bombay. So he was, he gave a one floor, I think it was under renovation, or maybe they were adding a floor or something, but he gave a floor to the devotees. And that magazine arrived. And so Yamuna Devi and Gurudas and I were sitting in, I guess in the lobby of the hotel, or maybe in the corner of the restaurant in the hotel. And so this new magazine came, and we were like astonished to read this prayer. Yamuna Devi read it out loud. And when she read, I mean, the whole thing built up, but then when she read, signed, "The Most Unfortunate Insignificant Beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami," she burst out into tears. So this is a very deep poem and a very significant occasion, the day that Srila Prabhupada arrived in America. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Dharma Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. The Christians have a concept, some, that it's just a matter of mercy. Thank you. Some of the Christian, born-again Christians especially, have this concept of it's just mercy. There's no effort required. You just accept Lord Jesus and you're saved. And when we hear about the pastimes of Vasudeva Datta and Srila Prabhupada's praying for us like this, how do we understand the relationship between our own effort, especially considering that when we start out strong and then we seem to falter and our effort gets weaker? How much is it our effort and how much is it the Lord's mercy?
Well, there's a saying that one should work or perform one's spiritual practices as if everything depended on yourself. And one should pray as if everything depended on the Lord's mercy. So we should do both as intensely as we can. I mean, you asked how much is your effort and how much is the Lord's mercy. I don't know if there's any set formula. But one disciple of Bhakti Tirtha Swami's, at the time of initiation, you know, said something like that, now I'm depending completely on your mercy. And he said, 75% your efforts, 25% my mercy. I don't know what to make of it, I'm just repeating it. But yeah. Yes, Mahari Prabhu?
Prabhupada said on one recorded lecture that he made the statement that God helps those who help themselves.
Yes.
And of course he said that a number of times, and the devotee asked him that how can we help ourselves? And Prabhupada replied, you put yourself under the lotus 2 feet of Krishna.
Yes.
So that seems to be a pretty good recipe, but our effort, somehow we have to get close enough to Krishna to get that mercy, or put ourselves in a position that we're not hard-baked. But it's like the rain, probably gives the example that the rain of mercy, that the rain comes, it's very difficult for the desert, the parched ground, to accept it when the ground is tilled, and the farmer makes it ready to receive the rain, then the rain can have some magnified effect. So we can always put ourselves into a very advantageous position for receiving that mercy. So thank you very much.
Very good. Nice class. Thank you. What is your good name?
Kardama Munidas.
Kardama Munidas.
I also found in Boston. As it turns out.
What year?
1972.
Really?
So I just missed you.
Yeah.
So I got there just after everyone left the press and gone to New York the year before. And actually, I was trying to find the North Beacon Street Temple because I thought the press was there. Very excited. I did see Commonwealth Pier. Before I moved into the temple, we were out wandering around, and I was living in South Boston at the time. We were out wandering around in the piers in Dallas. And I saw Commonwealth Pier, and I said, what an interesting name. Just out here in the middle of nowhere, this thing called Commonwealth Pier.
Yeah.
There was something very particularly attractive about it. So.
So where are you based now?
Oh, I'm a lecturer for him.
Oh, okay.
We came here on business to go to a conference in Fort Worth.
Okay. Are you the Kardama Muni who's associated with Vaishnava's care?
Indeed I am.
Pleased to meet you.
I think I met you several times also in Atlanta.
Yeah. So, Mahari Prabhu, did you have a question?
It was just a little bit more on saying that Dharma Prabhu was. I heard something recently. Heard it many times, but from Chaitanya Bhagavata, there's a story about that. Brahmachari who snuck into Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. So he was, you know, petitioning Srivastava that he could get in. So Srivastava was so impressed by his behavior, his qualities, and so he let him in. And, but, you know, everyone knew that Lord Chaitanya was very particular about who came into these kirtans. So I guess, you know, he was doing it, but there was some reservation at the same time. And then, you know, the story of Lord Chaitanya discovered him and got very angry. And so then, you know, this brahmachari left. And, you know, Lord Chaitanya was expressing anger, and, you know, Srivastava was maybe afraid. Then he gets called back by Lord Chaitanya. I mean, his mood is proper also, but Brahmachari's mood is
is very nice. But what I was thinking was that Srivast Thakur had already given his blessings to this brahmachari. So Srivast Thakur is a great exalted devotee. So his blessings, you know, it seems like his blessings had to be effective. And so, you know, that seems like one of the reasons that the, even though at first he was rejected, but then he was accepted. So, you know, there's the blessings of Lord Krishna, but then there's the blessings of great devotee like Srila Prabhupada. You were mentioning how Srila Prabhupada prayed when he saw you in Boston and he marked. So, if we get the blessings of the devotee, it seems like that's a big part of it. And it seems that, you know, the great devotees, they're always in a mood to give these blessings. But at the same time, sometimes we have to work in such a way that they become satisfied with us. Spiritual master, he has a different relationship with every one of his disciples. Sometimes the disciple may do something like externally that appears one way, but the spiritual master always knows what the disciple's mood is, just like Srila Prabhupada said about that devotee said, "I'm the most fallen." But he knew what he was really feeling and thinking, and that's why he. So, and the blessings of the devotees, it seems like if we get that, then in one sense that's like the most important, or one of the most important things in terms of our becoming successful in Krishna consciousness.
True. I mean, if you get the mercy of a devotee, then the mercy of Krishna will follow. But you, like you sort of hinted, you have to, you know, want that mercy. And the way you show that you want that mercy is by following the instructions. Like in that purport to Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Srila Prabhupada said one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when the spiritual master sees that one is always eager and ready to offer menial service, then he blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. So, yeah, there's other, sort of like, what Dharma Prabhu said, that in the beginning you might get some special mercy, but if you don't appreciate it sufficiently or value it enough, you can also lose it. So the reason for the tests is for us to show that we really want it and will value it, otherwise we can lose it. So that's a very important part of it. Or we can misuse it for some material purpose. Like once in Bombay, one disciple was like praying at Srila Prabhupada's feet. He was like on the Vyasasana, you know. "Please give me your mercy that I can follow your instructions." And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, he said, it's like you're falling in the well. And I'm handing down the rope to pull you out. And you're praying, please, please make my fingers curl around the rope. I've given you the rope. That's my mercy. I've given you my instruction. Now you have to follow them. And there's another incident also in Bombay. That was when Prabhupada was staying at the Ram Mandir in Chembur, the one I'm going to tell now. The other one was in the Akash Ganga apartment, Warden Road. So this man came, you know, Swamiji, Swamiji, only you can save me, only you can save me. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I cannot save you. You have to save yourself. But I can give you the method by which you can save yourself. So, I mean, he gives us the instructions and he prays for us, but we have to try to follow the instructions, at least that much. And, in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada was talking about sincerity, and then afterwards one disciple asked, you know, how can we become sincere? And Srila Prabhupada replied by following all the spiritual master's instructions, however big or small. But once I was discussing that point of sincerity with Brahmatirtha Prabhu, because Prabhupada has given other answers, and Brahmatirtha Prabhu quoted Prabhupada saying, to become sincere, you should associate with sincere devotees. Brahmatirtha Prabhu said, I like that one. That's why I associate with Ratatvaja Swami. Yes, Kardama Muni Prabhu.
At New Vrindavan in 1972, at the Pandal for Janmasthami, one devotee asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, if our purpose is to become Krishna conscious, why is Maya so strong? He said, because your purpose is not strong.
Yeah.
So, that appears to be some symptom of sincerity, that to have a strong purpose and to, as you said, to follow very closely instructions.
Yes. Ajamil Prabhu.
Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so many beautiful classes. I noticed your class is so nice that I was thinking that actually present time behavior clearly is so difficult as when you talk with Maya. And in difficult time, Prabhupada mercy is still going on, still many people coming to Krishna consciousness. But staying in this ideal or the secret of staying in, even though it doesn't matter what is our situation, our personal devotional service to Krishna. But I thought, I'm wrong, but I realized that as long as you stay with the devotees in honest, humble way, not to make any offense, even though your personal devotional service is not that great, suddenly you can carry on in a word of Krishna. I thought that as long as honest, sincerity, stay with the devotees and not make any offense.
That's very true about committing offenses. There's tremendous potency in the process, but to get the full benefit, we have to be free from offenses. And that is related to what you said, being honest and humble and sincere. Well, that's an important part of that, of the first of those five verses that Prabhupada quoted. I have it on the board, but we didn't have time. I didn't want it to go too late. Maybe tomorrow we can discuss that, but Shrinivata Svakata Krishna, then Saritsatam, and Prabhupada translates Saritsatam, the benefactor of the truthful devotee. In other words, he should be truthful if he really wants to purify his heart and go back to Godhead. He's not here for some other reason in the guise of devotional service. Then Krishna helps from within the heart. It cleanses the desire for material enjoyment. Yes, Mother Sucharya.
About your points about accepting the sinful reactions. And first you explained that the person was stealing and then he asked his family and they said no. But then we have another point you mentioned that Lord Jesus took the sinful reactions for his followers. And also in our movement, you know, the spiritual masters are taking the sinful reactions for all the followers. So my first question is, please correct me if I'm wrong, was it in fact true that Srila Prabhupada said that the burden of the sinful reactions was to be shared with the temple presidents and the JDC? Is that correct or not correct?
Everyone is responsible. I mean, it's in the Bhagavatam that the king accepts a share of the citizens' sinful reactions and pious reactions. So, you know, the GBC or the temple president, they're like the king of, you know, they're the rulers, they're the administrators in the temple. So they also get a share of both the pious results and the sinful reactions.
And also, you were mentioning that the family members did not want to take the sinful reactions because the person was stealing, but the family members would be more than willing to, about the person, you say that ask your family members if they're willing to share the sinful reactions, but because he's stealing, they didn't want to. But if a person was honestly serving and accepting sinful reactions, then the family members would of course want to share the burden of their family, the burden of the husband.
Well, that would be unusual. I mean, if they're devotees, they might have that mood. But but anyway, that's a detail, I guess.
My main question was that Srila Prabhupada specifically said that the temple presidents and GBC should take some of the suffering. And then you mentioned how the king has to take responsibility. So is there a system, is that also in place right now for Srila Prabhupada's disciples and all the spiritual masters who are taking so many sinful reactions and so much burden just to uplift humanity and give every soul a chance to go back home, back to Godhead? is there, like Srila Prabhupada specifically said, Seven Presence GBT, so is there a system now where also the spiritual masters have the help of others to share that burden?
Well, it's these are like laws of nature. It's not something that any human being creates. And I mean, in the case of a devotee, the ultimate authority is Krishna. I mean, he's the ultimate authority anyway. But the rule is that the spiritual master accepts the sinful reactions. But if Krishna wants, he can relieve the spiritual master of some of those sinful reactions. But it's not like, okay, look, I'm not going to take 100%. I'll take 50%, and okay, you're the GBC, you take 25%, and you're the temple president, you take 25%. I don't think it works like that. Yeah, I think when we're taking responsibility for a soul, it's a very intimate relationship, and we do suffer, you know, for their misbehavior, and we also gain from their good behavior. And as far as the sinful reactions, that's up to Krishna how much he wants to take from the spiritual master and how much not. You know, sometimes he might allow the spiritual master to suffer, one, so that the disciples are more cautious, and two, so that the spiritual master is careful about not accepting unqualified disciples. I mean, there are different aspects to it. But when Srila Prabhupada was discussing it with Brahmatirtha, with Bob Cohen, and he was saying that Prabhupada was saying that suffering is due to sinful reactions. And Bob Cohen said, but you know, your suffering couldn't be due to sinful reactions. You're like the most pure devotee. And, you know, you haven't done anything wrong. And Prabhupada said, well, my suffering is because I accepted unqualified disciples, nonsense disciples. So, yeah, it's all very subtle and personal. Very subtle and personal, but it is a serious responsibility to have children also. And there's the verse in the Bhagavatam, Guru Nasasyat Pita Nasasyat. No one should become a guru, no one should become a father, no one should become a mother, no one should become a husband, unless he can deliver his dependent from the repetition of birth and death. Prabhupada says that one has to discharge these duties very responsibly. Otherwise one is, you know, cast into the ocean of sinful reactions. And one can discharge these duties properly only if one becomes a pure devotee. In other words, one can deliver one's dependence from the repetition of birth and death only if one becomes a pure devotee. So we're all in very responsible positions, and we should take them seriously and really, you know, pray for mercy and do our best to follow the instructions.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Rasa Sundari.
When you were talking about the dream in unity, that the prayer should be that was dream in unity, so as long as I don't fear dream in humility, then how can I hope that my prayers can become effective?
Well, it's like, I think Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that you should cry for Krishna. And if you can't cry for Krishna, then you should cry because you can't cry for Krishna. Cry to be able to cry for Krishna. I guess if you can't cry to be able to cry for Krishna, if you cry to be able to cry to be able to cry for Krishna. Somewhere you just have to, it's like that's our free will, that's our minute independence, and no one can do that for us, we just have to. But association helps. Sangat Sanjayate Kama, one develops one's desires according to association. So if you associate with devotees who, you know, sincerely desire to purify their hearts and go back to Godhead, you know, serve Guru and Krishna, then that will help that desire to come forth within you. And that applies at every stage. At every stage, all the way to the end. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that sadhu sangha is the root cause of devotional service. And even until one develops Krishna prema, sadhu sangha is required. And sadhu sangha means associating with devotees who are more advanced than oneself and have a similar affection for the Lord. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Gaur Premanandi.
Holy Swami Maharaj ki jai.